Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And happy Friday to you. Welcome in to today's edition of the Hoosier Report. So glad to have you with us as we head into the weekend. Lots of stuff coming up for you this weekend here on the Big X, and it's going to be this way basically continuously with all the basketball that's happening and that's still ahead in this great time of the year. But, of course, tonight we have high school basketball on the Big X Sports Radio, and tonight's game, Bedford North Lawrence, who's been playing some good basketball at New Albany. It's senior night at the Doghouse, and a very important game. I think it'll have a postseason feel to it. New Albany has played well at times and struggled at other times. A loss last week to Providence. Bulldogs will be looking to bounce back, and this is a big game to do it. So I'll be curious to see that one, get a better feel for a very unknown Seymour sectional a few weeks away. So we'll have that game tonight right here on the Big X, tip-off at 7:30 in that contest. And, of course, this weekend, Indiana and Penn State, we're going to talk lots about that game today. It will tip at noon on Sunday, so an early start. Pre-game coverage Sunday, 11 a.m. Don Fisher, obviously the legendary Don Fisher with the call of that game on Sunday. Then, at the conclusion of the IU game, we'll rip away and get to Indianapolis for the boys basketball state tournament pairings. Those begin at 3 o'clock, and I think we'll be there at the beginning of that. As long as things are fairly speedy with the Indiana game, we'll have all of the pairings, 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, across the entire state of Indiana. And then beginning at 5 o'clock, Lee Kelly and I will be live here in studio, and we'll bring you our local tournament pairing special presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. So we'll talk with some coaches from across the area. We'll have a couple on at least from every local sectional. Should be a lot of fun. An extended program. We'll break them down. We'll reset the remainder of the regular season. We'll give you our thoughts and predictions. It's just a fun show we do every year. Look forward to doing it once again this season, and hope you can join us on Sunday. But welcome in to the Hoosier Report. We do this each day, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Live at 11 o'clock here on 1450 and 96.1. The replay is at 3 o'clock most days. We've got some baseball and things as we enter some of the warmer months ahead that occasionally knocks us off in the 3 o'clock hour. But you can also find us as a podcast. We're on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud as well. So no matter how you're with us, we're glad you're with us, and we welcome you into this Friday program. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one will begin with our Zaxby's headlines for this Friday. A number of things to get to on IU basketball. We'll take a look at IU baseball, where they are at this weekend. And last night, Jeffersonville had a big one, kind of a good test for the postseason, as the Red Devils went across the river to Ballard, and they were victorious in a heck of a game. A number of Red Devils shooting the ball well. A number of Devils placed in double figures last night. And Jeffersonville, if they play like that, has a real opportunity in this upcoming postseason. So we'll talk some about that coming up here in just a few moments. And then segment two will be joined by Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. With Jared today on my list, we'll recap more from the IU-Minnesota game. We'll preview IU-Penn State. We'll talk about some of the good things and the bad things on Indiana's NCAA tournament resume at this juncture, and we'll get Jared's prediction, as we have from multiple people over the last couple weeks, what this Indiana team must do, in his opinion, to punch its ticket to the NCAA tournament. We'll talk some individual player stuff as well. Plenty of IU basketball coming up today with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call when he joins us in segment two. Then later in the program, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, he joins me for a chat on basketball and some high school stuff. And we'll look ahead to the postseason, some recruiting things as well, when Kyle Nedenrip of the Star joins me to close our program today. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch that'll be made to order for you. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Maybe you've got a comment or question. You can send it to us. It might get read or used on the air. On Twitter, you can follow me at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also find our show on Facebook. Just search in Facebook, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can like the page, get podcasts, get updates on the show, and there's also a way you can send us a message, and again, maybe we'll use your comment or question on our program today. Let's dive into our Zaxby's headlines for this Friday, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And looking ahead to this Indiana team and this Indiana schedule, some people say two, most say three wins from this point forward, basically locks Indiana in to the NCAA tournament, depending on how they finish in regular season play. Penn State on Sunday, we know that's a tough one, even though it is at home. Penn State has, I don't want to call it a slide, but I'm not sure they were playing as well as what they were even just a few weeks ago. But still, regardless, Penn State is on a great track to make the NCAA tournament. 20-6 overall is this Penn State team. They are 10-5 in conference games this season and have really had a great year. Looking at some of their more recent games, they lost at home in their last outing, 62-56 to Illinois. But before that, a number of wins in a row for this Penn State team. I'm going to count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 wins in a row. You'd have to go all the way back to January 15th at Minnesota, oddly enough, their last loss before the most recent loss in their last game against Illinois. So that's basically a month and 3 or 4 days, a stretch where Penn State did not lose. They really were dominant in that stretch. Some big wins, including over Michigan State on the road. A number of road wins at Michigan in that stretch, at Purdue in that stretch, and played some really good basketball. And so I guess the good news is that this game isn't part of that great stretch that Penn State had. Can Indiana at home catch Penn State as they, I'm sure, try to bounce back from a lackluster performance at home against Illinois? But I think Sunday is going to be a very tough game, and that's why you look ahead on this Indiana schedule the rest of the way. At Purdue, I know it's a road game, but Purdue is mediocre at best this season. Obviously, when the two rivals play, Purdue seems to be really up for the game, as you would expect. But I think that's one Indiana has a possibility at. Illinois, I'm not completely sold on them. It is a road game. They do have some talent. They have, again, just had a big win over Penn State, so it's really hard to get a read on this conference. Another tough game on the road. And then, I've said this a couple times, saving grace for this team as far as their NCAA tournament hopes could be the last two games of the season, March 4th at home against Minnesota, and also March 7th, Saturday at home against Wisconsin. It's going to be really interesting to watch Minnesota because they are really reeling right now and have a lot of work to do. They're way out of the tournament picture, I believe, at this moment. So unless they get things turned around, by the time they come to Bloomington in early March, you know, their season could be basically over. Will they have turned it in by then? Will it be an opportunity for Indiana to get an easy win? I don't know about that. But again, the saving grace, I'll say it again, for this team and its NCAA tournament hopes, it really could come down to those last two home games, which would be exciting for the fans, but nerve-wracking, of course, for the Indiana fans and for this program that so desperately needs to get back to the NCAA tournament after a few years of hiatus. Another headline I wanted to mention today, I think this is pretty interesting. I saw Fox Sports tweeted a graphic, most wins against ranked opponents this season. The most wins, Baylor, they are 6-0 against ranked opponents this season. They have a huge game in their conference coming up this weekend. I think it's Sunday against Kansas. Two teams tied for second, Oregon and Iowa, both have 5 wins. Oregon 5-2 against ranked opponents. Iowa 5-3 against ranked opponents. And again, Iowa, a team that Indiana beat. Penn State, Creighton, Seton Hall, Wisconsin, and Purdue, and Indiana all tied for fourth with most wins against ranked opponents. And, of course, Indiana could jump up to that second-place spot for a tie with Oregon and Iowa if they could beat Penn State on Sunday. But right now, Indiana is 4-3 against ranked opponents this season. Wisconsin also 4-3. Purdue is 4-5 against ranked opponents. Penn State, Indiana's opponent on Sunday, 4-1 against ranked opponents. And I mentioned we were going to talk some today about Indiana's NCAA tournament resume outside of what they need to do moving forward to get in. And that can't be a bad thing to have a winning record against ranked opponents. So maybe Indiana can keep that a winning record with a win over Penn State this weekend, of course, as they try to build on their resume. Last night, high school basketball, Jeffersonville playing at Louisville Ballard. Ballard male, I think you got to call those two the front runners from what I know over in the Louisville high school basketball scene as far as the best opportunities to get down to Lexington for the Sweet 16, which is a great format, by the way, and some really fun state tournament basketball. Kentucky still does it right with one class and a great setup at Rupp Arena. Just awesome format. But Jeffersonville goes to Ballard, back and forth game. Jeffersonville got the win 80-77. 5 players in double figures for Jeffersonville. How about this? Caleb Mason of Jeffersonville with an absolute hot hand last night. The team was 14-21 from 3-point range, but Mason did some damage himself. He's known as a good shooter, but he was 7-9 last night from 3-point range, and the Red Devils' top scorer with 24 points. It was a huge part of that victory last night. Trey Coleman, he had 17 points. Jacob Jones, 17 points. Kobe Stoudemire, 12 points. Darren Starks, 10 points. Basically, all of the Red Devils' shooters and scorers played well in the game last night, and that's the Jeff talent and the Jeff team that when they have not just one or two players playing well, but when they get all of them going and they're sharing the ball, that's the Jeff team that's loaded with talent that can still make a run in the postseason. And Jeffersonville, you know, we talk about them early on being maybe the clear front runner at Seymour. You know, they won 10 out of their last 11 games. Yeah, they had some bad moments or some slip-ups here and there, but a lot of teams do. They are playing some good basketball right now heading into the final week or two of the regular season. And last night at Ballard, an indication that this Jeffersonville team, again, will still be a force at Seymour. And I think at this point you got to label them as the front runner still as we get closer to the draw on Sunday. But a big win last night for Chris Moore, for his Jeffersonville team to go to Louisville, to go to Ballard and have a great performance, a team-wide performance last night. And, of course, always cool to see someone that maybe isn't the leading scorer typically or doesn't have a ton of points typically step up and have a big night. And Caleb Mason, he had a big one last night with 7-9 three-pointers for the Red Devils. IU baseball back at it this weekend. They are down in Alabama at the South Alabama Invitational. They take on UT Martin today, South Alabama on Saturday, and Siena on Sunday. Of course, Indiana started this 2020 season at LSU. They picked up a win at number 11 LSU in the final game of the series, a 7-2 victory, but lost the overall series at LSU. So Jeff Mercer, his second year as IU baseball coach with, I don't want to say lofty expectations, but definitely a program that's expected to have a good season. It'll be fun to follow the Hoosiers on the baseball field this year. That's a look at our headlines. Our headlines each day presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Zaxby's is the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings all made to order. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we will talk with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. IU basketball, we'll talk IU Minnesota, IU Penn State coming up. IU's tournament resume, what they got to do to get in, according to Jared, and a lot of other topics as well about the Big Ten and the tournament. Going to be a fun chat coming your way next, right here on a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And back on this Friday program, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with us to talk some IU basketball today. You can catch Jared and his team after each IU game right here on the Big X Sports Radio as we air the Assembly Call IU postgame show, which is a great way, win or lose, to recap and go through the happenings with IU basketball after each and every game. And Jared, I tell you what, as we head into Sunday and Indiana's next contest, of course, a big one at home against Penn State. Things are a lot more interesting and a lot more upbeat because IU is coming off a very solid performance, especially defensively. I thought a great rebounding effort in the second half as well. A nice road win at a tough place historically for Indiana to win. That's been the barn at Minnesota, but IU got it done, and it sure makes Sunday's game. I think either way it was going to be kind of a do-or-die great environment, but it even ups the ante a little bit with a nice road win heading into this one Sunday.
It does. It makes you feel a little better going into it. I do look forward to a day where the overall mood and tenor of the program isn't so directly tied to the previous game, which is, you know, kind of how things feel right now. It's like, you know, I mean, everything felt so down after, you know, playing so poorly at Michigan, and now, you know, you go win a road game that was a little bit unexpected, and everything feels good again, you know, and it'll certainly be nice at some point, you know, when Archie gets things to a little bit of a smoother point. But, you know, to the point that you made, you know, going and getting that win against Minnesota, showing some improvement, showing some adjustment to do it, I think that's got everybody feeling better about this game on Sunday. And it's a, you know, you don't usually, you know, circle at the beginning of the season a home game against Penn State as an opportunity to get a really big win. But, you know, this Penn State team has been really good. You know, they finally lost again to Illinois. I think they had won 7-8 games in a row coming into that. They've been playing really well on the road. And, you know, obviously, you know, we remember what Indiana did when we went up there, which is not play well and get blown out in the second half. But it's important to remember, you know, Jerome didn't play that game. Race didn't play that game. And I'm not sure that our guards could collectively have a worse, you know, game again if they tried. I mean, they were just really ineffective. So, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons to believe that Indiana will bounce back and really compete well in this game on Sunday. And I think if they do that, they'll win. You know, and that would be a really big win, give them some momentum heading into two more road games. You know, that'll put them at 18 wins, and you start really feeling a lot better about the NCAA tournament chances. But, you know, obviously they got to do it. And so, you know, we've seen them play really well at home. We've seen them play poorly at home this season. So, if it's the former, then I think they're going to have a really good chance to get a win, and it'll be a really meaningful one.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guess. I want to go back to the Minnesota game for a moment because there were some things in that game, maybe not early, not at the start of the game necessarily, but throughout most of the game, there were some things that, and you guys talked about this, I was listening to Assembly Call Radio, your weekly show, that if you could, you'd like to bottle them up that this team did in that road win at Minnesota. Talk about those things, specifically some defensive adjustments that did not start good early, but defense ended up being a real strength for Indiana at Minnesota earlier this week, that if you could, you'd like to see a continuation of that, open that bottle back up Sunday at home against Penn State.
Yeah, you know, it looked like the guys just had a stronger commitment to the defensive system than what we've seen in other road games. Because, you know, a lot of times what's happened in the second halves of these games is, you know, teams have figured out how to exploit Indiana's defense, and, you know, they've gotten on a run. And it's, you know, it's felt like the players just don't have the confidence in the system to kind of maintain their enthusiasm to play it with all their might, which is obviously what you're going to need to do on the road against good teams. And, you know, part of that has been the high heads that they've used, which is, you know, very good in theory, you know, especially at stopping dribblers and redirecting dribblers. And when it's executed well, can really work. But it's just been a real challenge for guys like Joey Brunk and Deron Davis, who aren't, you know, who don't move that well, and Trace Jackson Davis, who's a freshman and still kind of learning how to do it, you know, when to go, when to stay. And so we've seen good teams be able to exploit that, like Michigan did. And so what Indiana did in the Minnesota game is they just made that ball screen coverage flatter. So the big man wasn't going all the way out to stop the dribble. He was just staying flat, making sure the guy didn't get all the way to the lane, but giving the guy guarding the ball handler a chance to recover. And it allowed for Indiana to not get into as many desperate help situations. Now, they didn't execute it perfectly all the time, and you know, it's not like Minnesota's running a ball screen on every single possession. While Indiana's defensive numbers look good and I thought the defense was better, I think you could also attribute a lot of that to Minnesota playing really poor offense and missing a lot of shots. So I don't, you know, you don't want to go overboard, you know, just because of one game. But what I liked about it was that, and Archie talked about this in the postgame press conference, you know, he thought the team lost confidence against Michigan on, you know, last weekend. And I agree with him. And I think, you know, making that adjustment, doing something that the players are probably a little bit more comfortable with, certainly comfortable with athletically, you know, that might be something that can, you know, give them that confidence they need that, you know, if a couple possessions go poorly, hey, you know, we believe in what we're doing, let's go. And so that kind of collective belief in doing something that seems to fit the personnel a little bit better, you know, I thought that was a really smart adjustment, and that's certainly something that I hope we see moving forward. And obviously the other thing that you want to bottle as much as you possibly can is the mentality that Trace Jackson Davis attacked that game with, you know, because he's been a guy whose mentality has really waned on in road games and hasn't always been the same guy on the road that he's been at home, which isn't totally abnormal for a freshman. But, you know, most freshmen, when they go out there on the court, aren't the first or second best player on the floor like Trace is. And he hasn't played like that sometimes in road games. And he really played like that against Minnesota and had a fantastic game. And, you know, you're inherently going to be an inconsistent team, you know, typically if you're relying on a freshman to be your best player. But that's where we are. And if that's a sign that Trace is ready to really, you know, finish the rest of this season with a flurry, that's going to be huge for Indiana because, you know, so much of what they want to do begins with him, and everybody can kind of play off of him. And he was terrific. So that, and then obviously the play of Race Thompson. I think he's got to be a guy that, you know, health willing, everybody knock on wood, you know, he needs to play 20-plus minutes a game because I think Indiana's best lineups, especially defensively, are when he and Trace are out there together. And he's just a guy who's really proven that he can impact the team with energy, with toughness, with rebounding. He's just a good basketball player. And so, you know, all those things kind of came together, you know, along with a friendly whistle at the end of the game and Minnesota continuing to miss shots, you know, to lead to that 12-point win. And if those, you know, if those things can be bottled, that's going to bode well for Indiana down the stretch.
Jared Morris is joining me. We're talking IU basketball here on this Friday edition of the show. Trace Jackson Davis, Archie Miller made his case, as he should. I think it's great in the post-game presser. But is Trace Jackson Davis the freshman of the year thus far in the Big Ten Conference?
I mean, to me, he is. Now, I am clearly biased, and I've seen Trace play a whole lot more than I've seen other freshmen play. You know, seeing the other teams as much as I have, looking at the stats, staying up with the conference, you know, I don't think there's any other freshman in the league that his team relies on as much as Indiana relies on Trace Jackson Davis and has as much pressure to produce on a game-in, game-out basis, and who, for the most part, has stepped up to do that. You know, I mean, you know, try to imagine taking Trace off of this team. I mean, you know, Deron's had his moments, Joey's had his moments at certain times of the season, but those guys have been so up and down. You know, you've dealt with injuries, other guys have been inconsistent. I mean, you know, Trace Jackson Davis has been the rock for a team that right now is trending toward the NCAA tournament, you know, and still has a chance to finish, you know, right around the middle of the Big Ten. And so, you know, just, you know, you add in that degree of difficulty and, you know, just how spectacular he's been at times and how solid he's been most of the time. And I would be hard-pressed to – and I would love to hear an argument for another freshman. You know, people say Coburn from Illinois, and there's certainly some freshmen having some really good seasons. But I'd be really hard-pressed to think that there's one that has been better and more valuable to his team than Trace.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call here on this Friday show. Heading into Sunday's game against Penn State, obviously it's a big one for Indiana, but it's also a home game. How do you measure this Penn State team? I think before maybe the last week and a half or so, you'd have to be very, very high on them because of the season they've had and really the turnaround they've had, which I think is something that's interesting to IU fans, that Penn State a year ago in early January was, you know, was not good. And since that point, have made some major changes, obviously most of them coming this season, to become one of the better teams in the conference. But they've had some slip-ups and maybe haven't played as well lately. How do you score Penn State as they come into this game? And maybe your thoughts on this matchup with Penn State that will happen Sunday at Assembly Hall.
I mean, Penn State's really, really good, you know, again, which is an odd statement to say in February when you're talking about basketball, but they are, you know, and they went through those tough times last year where they were 0-10. But, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, a group of guys that battle through adversity, stick with it. They kept their coach, which is a controversial decision, and it's paid off, you know, and they've got a dude in Lamar Stevens, you know, a player that they, you know that they can produce really well. He's not the most efficient player, but he's a go-to player, you know, and I think we all know that basketball teams function better when there's an alpha and when there's a guy that you play through. And so he's that guy. They've got a good rim protector in Mike Watkins, who's a tough guy down low. He obviously played really well against Indiana when we played up there. And they've got a bunch of guards that know their role, shoot well, and play good defense. You know, and so they've really, you know, you look at their roster, and it doesn't necessarily jump out at you with like, oh, yeah, I remember when that guy was recruited. And, you know, everybody knows Lamar Stevens, but some of the other names you don't really know, but they just function well as a team. And they play hard, and they've got a toughness about them, which you have to have if you're going to go win four straight road games. I mean, that is difficult for anybody to do, and it's unprecedented in Penn State history. So they're good. They're legit, you know, Sweet 16, potential Elite Eight, good. You know, they'll probably get a top three or four seed. All that said, you know, they're coming into Assembly Hall, and this is a game that we should expect to win because they're really good. They're, you know, they're not overwhelming from a talent perspective. And I think, you know, not having Jerome and not having Race, you know, in that game up there really hurt Indiana's chances, because that's when Jerome was really cooking. Obviously, you know, Race, anytime he's been healthy and been out there for extended minutes, he's been impactful. And so I think those are two guys who can really have a big impact on the game. And, you know, again, you know, it was the guard play that really failed us up there. And our guards have typically played better at home, as, you know, is often the case. You know, but I would expect a much better performance from Rob Finnessy. You know, Al Durham has been a guy who I think has played much better over the last few games. And, you know, you roll the Devontae Green roulette wheel and, you know, you hope it lands on double-digit scoring, because when it does, Indiana has a pretty good chance of winning. So, you know, it's going to be tough. I mean, Indiana's not going to be able to come out and play a B-plus game and beat Penn State. They've proven that. You know, so Indiana's going to have to come out with their A game. But hopefully if they can take some momentum from that Minnesota game, you know, and feed off the crowd and the guards are ready to go, then, like I said earlier, it's a game that Indiana should win. It won't be easy.
Jared, I want to talk a little bit about Indiana's Big Ten, or I should say NCAA tournament resume. And I'm going to ask you here in a minute what you think Indiana needs to do from this point forward, starting with the Penn State game through the end of the regular season, to get in the tournament. That's kind of a standard question we have to ask right now. But when you look at the resume as it stands today, Maybe what are some of the better things, even going back to non-conference play, what are some of the things that stand out to you that Indiana has in its favor on their tournament resume? And is there any negative? Is there a bad loss? Is there any specifics that are against this team on their NCAA tournament resume?
So I think the biggest positive about Indiana's NCAA tournament resume is that there is not a glaring weakness. You know, take a look at a team like Purdue. Take a look at a team like Minnesota. They have a lot of good wins. And I haven't, I don't know the exact numbers, but they might even have a higher volume of good wins than Indiana. You know, and I think those teams are rated higher in the net. The problem is they don't have the volume of wins that Indiana does. And I think they might have some bad losses. I'm not Andy Bottoms or Coach Tonsoni, so I don't have all the every team's resume memorized. But that's the thing for Indiana, is they have right now a good volume of wins and they don't have bad losses. And I know there was a lot of controversy about that November schedule. And of course the downside to playing that November schedule is, it was not going to help your strength of schedule. It was maybe not going to help you get ready for the tough games in December and in Big Ten play. But right now, like that number of 17 that Indiana has in the win column, that's really helpful. Because if Purdue had that, and if they had just fattened up on some cupcakes earlier in the season, given the other things they've done and how tough the Big Ten has been, they'd be a no-brainer in the NCAA tournament. Like that's just how these things, that's how the committee has typically looked at these things. And that was why I thought the way Indiana scheduled was smart. It's not how you want to be scheduling down the line when you have a team, that you think is a bona fide top 25 team. But when you've missed the tournament for three straight years, and last year you missed it probably just because you didn't win one more game, I thought it was smart to go out and just accumulate some wins. And so I think that's been important for Indiana. But, it's not just that they won all those games against teams that weren't very good. They have also avoided bad losses. The home loss against Arkansas probably looks the worst right now. Arkansas was playing pretty well at the time, but they've cratered a little bit, and so that loss is not aging well, as they say. And to be fair, once conference play starts, you don't really have many opportunities to take on bad losses. But Indiana beat teams like Connecticut. They beat teams like Notre Dame that are NIT level teams, and that's important. You don't want those losses on your resume. And so I think for Indiana, they obviously have some good wins. Florida State and Michigan State, and some of those wins that they have are very solid, and they have some opportunities to pick up some more. But, right now I really think the most important thing is just having a high enough volume of wins that, they project to get to 19 or 20, which is going to be really good, and then just not having those bad losses. And sometimes, avoiding the bad stuff can make you look a lot better in comparison to some of the people around you. Whose resume is a little bit more checkered.
All right, Jared, let me ask this question. It's been a standard one this week on the program, especially after the road win earlier this week. What does Indiana need to do, in your estimation, as you look at the bracket or as you look at the field, the bubble teams, the Big Ten as a whole? What does Indiana need to do to secure their spot in the NCAA tournament this year, starting with this Penn State game on Sunday?
I think if Indiana wins three of their final games down the stretch and gets to 20 wins, you can feel really, really good. I mean, to me, that basically guarantees Indiana's spot. I just don't really see a way that a 20-win Indiana team heading into the Big Ten tournament, in the Big Ten conference, because, that's going to place them somewhere in the middle of the Big Ten, they would make it. I think they would have a really good shot to make it even if they got to 19 wins. Because no matter which of these games, no matter which of the two games down the stretch they would win, that would still be, a solid quality win. That resume would probably stack up pretty well. Now, it could be like a first four in type thing. You may not be real comfortable, but I think you could even get in at 19. So to me, that three is kind of the magic number. You win three more games, get to 20. I think you got to be feeling really, really good. And look, we'd all love to do more. So, let's keep winning and get as good of a seat as possible, but get to 20 and then probably 19, I think, would still probably do it too.
I've mentioned this a few times, but I just have a sneaking suspicion, a feeling that Indiana fans, the team, everybody going to be very thankful that last week of conference play. It's Minnesota at home and Wisconsin at home. Not that either one of them aren't tough opponents or quality wins if Indiana can get it done, but if Indiana does come down to that final week, which is very possible given who they play and where they play coming up here between now and March 1st, if Indiana does come into that final week of play, that Wednesday-Saturday combination against Minnesota and Wisconsin, needing one or two wins to match what you said, and that truly is what they need to get in the tournament, the fact that those games are at home, and even who they're against, I'd rather it be Minnesota and Wisconsin than maybe Penn State and Michigan State. But I think that those last two opportunities at home could be a saving grace for this team, because I think it'll come down to that.
What are you talking about? We own Michigan State. Bring on Michigan State. Just kidding. Not trying to tempt fate, basketball gods. Just a joke. No, I think you're definitely right. But that's also why I think these next three games are really important, you know, because you don't want to be limping into those games, you know, and kind of, you know, have crowds there that, I mean, you know, the crowds will always be good. It'll always be engaged. But, yeah, to me, that's what – you can't go out and lay an egg on Sunday against Penn State and then go, you know, lose two very losable road games, you know, and kind of limp in and expect the same kind of enthusiasm for those games. And so that's why, you know, getting this Penn State game would be so important. And obviously, if they could get one of those two on the road at Purdue or at Illinois, which very losable road games, and, you know, we've seen this team really play poorly on the road, but, you know – those teams are not unbeatable teams, right? So, I mean, if this Indiana team can figure something out, you know, if that Minnesota game was a sign that they figured something out on the road, they could win those, you know? And so, you know, that's what I just think, getting some momentum for those final two games, not just relying on them as like the fail-safe of, hey, okay, you know, we've got these two road games down there, we win both, we can get to 19, we'll be fine. You know, like, let's go into those with some momentum, you know, and really be building on something, rather than just trying to, you know, back our way in to the tournament. So, you know, you're right. It's nice to have those two games out there. But I hope we're building on something at that point, not using it to stop the bleeding.
Another question as far as the Big Ten Conference goes. I've heard lots of people talk about, is it 10 teams that get in? Is it even maybe 11 teams that make the big dance from the Big Ten Conference? What do you see there? Is there a legitimate possibility for 11 teams, or do you think it'll likely be 10?
I mean, there's definitely a legitimate possibility just because of how many teams are around the bubble. You know, so, I mean, if those teams win some games, it could happen. I mean, if I had to bet, I would say it's probably most likely that 10 teams get in, but that's really just kind of more basing it on, you know, the odds and what seems likely. But it, you know, it's amazing that, you know, the Big Ten has 12 teams that have put themselves in position. Minnesota, you know, obviously seems to be fading from that discussion, but they've still got a chance to do some work down the stretch. So we'll see. But yeah, you know, 10 to me seems the most likely. But I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, if that, you know, Purdue, you know, sneaks in there, because they've obviously done enough to warrant it and to show that they're an NCAA tournament level team. Now they've just got to polish their resume enough to be able to bump themselves over the rest of the teams on the bubble. And they'll have as many opportunities to do that as any of those teams will, because every game down the stretch for them, you know, is a potential quality win.
And no question about it. Jared Morris, the Assembly Call, always with us Fridays. We talk IU basketball, and you can hear Jared and his team with the IU postgame show from Assembly Call right here on the Big X after each IU game, and a lot more content throughout the week at Assembly Call. .com. Jared, always enjoy it. Great insight. I tell you, I know we've got an exciting close to the season for IU coming, but I'm almost equally excited for the Big Ten tournament. I think it's just going to be fantastic this year. And then, of course, the NCAA tournament after it. We've got some great weeks ahead in college hoops, and let's hope that IU's there. And we'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good, Matt. Have a good weekend.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call with us. Don't forget Sunday, here on the Big X, we've got the high school tournament pairings. We'll cover that show from 3 to 5 p.m. from Indianapolis, where they will release the pairings for this year's boys basketball state tournament. Once the pairings are out from 5 to 7. Join Lee Kelly and I here on the Big X as well for our tournament pairing special. We're going to be joined by a number of area coaches. We'll take a look at each of the sectionals that includes local teams. We'll break them down. We'll set you up for the close of the regular season in high school basketball and get you ready for tournament play as well. It'll be a fun Sunday program, always is. Again, 5 to 7 after the pairings come out from 3 to 5. We'll have all of it, a four-hour block of tournament pairings-related programming Sunday here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, he joins the show. We'll take a look at some high school hoops and some recruiting and a lot more coming your way next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this final segment. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins, and this segment sponsored by real estate agent Jessica Bibben with RE/MAX Results and the Scroggin team. Whether you're in the market to sell your current home, purchase your first home, or you're searching for your dream home, Jessica Bibben will guide you through the process. You can contact her today at 502-777-9592 to get started. You can also connect with Jessica on Facebook and email her, jessbibben@gmail.com. Kyle, great to have you with us to wrap up the week. Tournament pairings will be released Sunday. We'll carry it here on the radio, here on the Big X Sunday afternoon. Always a fun day, and it gives us an opportunity because it doesn't start immediately. You've got about a week and a half or so to kind of digest the pairings and take a look at some of the matchups, or at least the potential matchups as things move forward. But tournament pairings Sunday, it's just a special day in our state.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how it shakes out, and a lot of local teams here, including that sectional 10, are really curious to see how that one will unfold. But you know, the draw, it doesn't always mean everything. It means, you know, it might depend on how many games you have to play, or you know, the teams you're going to see. But definitely in some sectionals it matters more than others, and I think we've got plenty of those around here and throughout the state where, you know, people are going to have teams they don't want to see, or maybe teams they do want to see on Sunday. So always fun to see how that shakes out, and then we have a little time to kind of sit and digest it before the sectionals actually begin. But can't wait for that. I'm glad they're doing it a little bit earlier, I think, than they have in the past. I think it's a 3 o'clock sectional draw on Sunday. So can't wait. And then we're kind of set for the final run of the season, which is hard to believe and a little bit exciting, but also a little bit sad that we're coming up on the end of it.
Yeah, no question about it. Tournament pairings Sunday, obviously a lot of teams get together, maybe have a meal, maybe enjoy some pizza, take the draw in, find out what's next for them once the regular season concludes. We'll be paying attention to a lot of different sectionals here in Southern Indiana that where the draw could, I think, you know, be meaningful depending on how it turns out. Any sectional or two across the state that you'll be paying attention to? Of course, you've got some there in Indianapolis that are high-powered as far as the talent and the good teams that are thrown together in the same sectionals. A lot of good teams get eliminated right away, no matter what the pairings are. But any you'll be paying extra attention to when the draw comes out where you feel like the draw could really matter?
Yeah, the draw will matter in Sectional 10. It's Lawrence Central this year. That one, you know, as I was looking at it earlier today, you have five teams who are in the top 14 in the Sagarin ratings and another one at number 23. So that's where it matters, is especially in one like that where, you know, if you can, it's a seven-team sectional, it's a little bit different than it has been, where it used to be six. So you have an odd number on one side, and you'll have four teams on the other side. So that one will be huge. You know, Lawrence Central and Lawrence North, I would say, have been the best teams in the area all year, and I think you throw Bloomington South in that mix too. But Lawrence Central and Lawrence North in the same sectional, they've played twice. Lawrence North has beat them twice.
So I think the biggest storyline maybe in the state is to see where those teams line up on the bracket. Are they playing each other in the first round, the semifinals, or would it be the championship? And then also you have teams like Christmas Attucks, which is 5 in the Sagarin, and North Central and Warren Central, who've both been playing probably above expectations this year. And then a Cathedral team that has been very good all year as well. So the only team, Tech is not a bad team this year, but compared to those other six, not as strong. So I think that's probably the one, you know, not only in this area, but in the state that people are going to be watching closely. It's always a really tough sectional. I think this year, probably going into the year, I thought it might be more of a two-team race. And now I think it still is, those top two, the Lawrence Township schools at the top. But teams like Attucks, North Central, Warren, Cathedral, I think all are better than we probably expected going in. So that'll make it fun. There's a lot of really good, interesting sectionals in the state, but I think that one is the one that probably stands out, not only here, but statewide.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star. This segment brought to you by real estate agent Jessica Bivin. Interesting storyline in high school basketball, not necessarily in our immediate area, but a coach that I have known and followed for many years, Jerry Baumholt, who's had two different stints at Southwestern. He led Southwestern last year to a number one ranking at one point of the season in Class 2A, led him to a regional as well. He resigned earlier this week after his team had just come off a pretty big win over South Decatur, and they're having a good season because of some internal disagreements with players. And Coach Baumholtz telling the Madison Courier in a sit-down interview earlier this week that he basically resigned because of some disagreements with players and kind of felt like the players didn't want him, were forcing him out. You don't always see something like that happen, especially from a coach or by a coach that has been coaching for so long and leading programs for so long, to exit this late in the season, in the middle of the season, just kind of an odd occurrence at Southwestern Hanover.
Yeah, definitely. And I just, I'd actually heard about that yesterday, or it might've been 2 days ago, that, there was some unrest there. And I just kind of had heard through an email actually that I think it was even before this meeting, it had officially happened, or, you know, there had been some things going on behind the scenes or whatever, but hadn't read, any more about it until today. And the Madison paper had a story about it. I was going through it, and Jerry was quoted in the story extensively. And a lot of times in situations like this, as you know, there's more than meets the eye, or there's maybe more to that story than we know about, or has been written about publicly. And I can't speak to that because I don't know what, if there is or if there's not. But unfortunately, it's just bizarre, the timing of it. There's only, like we talked about a minute ago, is sectional draws coming up Sunday. This is a team that's won back-to-back sectional titles under Jerry Baumholt, was 14-7 this year. So what's the deal? And it sounded from his perspective like there was basically players who were going to quit. And if he stayed on as coach, we're going to quit the team. I know he expects a lot. He can be hard on his players, he even said it in the story from the Madison paper that, and I don't want to misquote him or whatever. And as I'm looking at it here, I can't remember exactly. Fiery coach, I guess, is how he said it. When a player needs to be motivated, I motivated them. But when they deserve praise, I praise them, is how he was quoted in the Madison paper. So, I think that's a fairly accurate assessment. And he's been successful for a long time in a lot of places, including at Southwestern, who hasn't had much success when he hasn't been the coach. I don't know if we'll hear more about what happened there or not, but just really kind of strange situation. We saw Basil Mobby kind of in the similar situation up in North Miami, a team that's not nearly as successful, but kind of the timing of it again, really, really weird to not even finish the season that way. But I guess Jerry Baumholt, said he felt like this was the only option, and there was players who weren't going to play, and that he didn't want that to happen. So he stepped aside, and Southwestern will move on, and with an interim coach and an assistant coach. So unfortunate, and you know, maybe we'll hear more about what happened, if anything, in that situation, but really bizarre and I would say an unfortunate deal at Southwestern.
Yeah, no question about it. That wraps it up for today. Kyle, enjoy the draw. Next time we talk with you, we'll have the pairings for the state tournament set and talk with you next week.
Okay, thanks, Matt.
That wraps things up for this Friday program. Don't forget New Albany hosting Bedford tonight here on the Big X, IU Penn State on Sunday, and our tournament pairings coverage starting from Indianapolis at 3 o'clock, locally at 5 o'clock. Be back with you Monday here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.